Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Happy New Year, everyone.
I came here to be the manager of Manchester United, not to be the coach of Manchester United.
And now you're neither. Oh well, how's Celtic getting on?
Slips it through here, Mikey Moore! Rangers are smelling blood at the home of their rivals!
Oh dear, is anyone having fun?
It's Marlo Gusto, Liam Delap!
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh. Happy New Year to you, dear listener, and happy new Route 1. Yeah, we've tinkered with the format again. We're now three times a week, Monday, Wednesday and Friday. There are more off-pod changes coming behind the scenes, more on that next week. It's all very exciting, but rest assured, we continue to hold to the key tenets. It's football, fast, no faff. We remain a wibble-free zone dedicated to the authoritative discussion of the most interesting stories in football, frequently, but not always, the ones that slip under the radar elsewhere. So, without further ado, let's go Route 1 in association with Fitstairs. Once upon a time, Piers Morgan was editor of The Mirror, and he felt in the months following 9/11 that his newspaper should be a serious tabloid, offering high-caliber journalism to his readers instead of showbiz tittle-tattle. And so he redesigned the front page, he changed the red top to black, he dropped the celeb gossip, he commissioned John Pilger for a 2,000-word long read, and a new era began. Except that on the day that first issue hit the newsstands, his newsroom presented him with the story that England boss Sven-Göran Eriksson, hitherto a quiet and boring figure, was having it off with beautiful Swedish weather girl Ulrika Johnson. So what was Morgan to do? Lead with Sven or ignore it and lead with geopolitics? I want you to keep all of this in mind because I know that Route 1 is at its best when it covers the stories that other outlets ignore. And we did have a really good West Ham episode recorded for you today. And then we stepped out of the studio to find that Manchester United had sacked their manager. And so, like Morgan before me... Yes, Manchester United confirmed this morning that Ruben Amorim has left the club. They pointed to the fact that United were sixth and that a change had to be made in order to give the club the best opportunity of the highest possible finish, but no one is buying what they're shoveling, and rightly so. Amorim has gone because he went full Maresca after Sunday's 1-1 draw with Leeds United. He started quibbling about job title, challenged the club's hierarchy to do their job, and basically said he was off in 18 months anyway. It was as clear a case of professional self-immolation as I have ever seen in the Premier League, and I can only assume that the compensation payout is extremely generous and, above all, watertight. Daniel Story is the chief football writer of the I newspaper. Daniel, when I read those quotes this morning, I did get the strangest feeling we wouldn't be discussing West Ham today, but the speed of the club's decision suggests that this has been simmering for some time, doesn't it?
Ruben Amorim has ostensibly lost his job for speaking out. Like Enzo Maresca the previous week, he intimated that he needed more control at boardroom level to oversee a transformation of a team into regular Champions League qualifiers. The problem is that these head coaches only ever seem to demand to be managers when the coaching has gone badly. Manchester United's own statement, I think, was pretty instructive. Ruben Amorim has left his position as head coach. I think the sense is that Amorim has been looking for a way out for some time, probably ever since the calamity at Grimsby in the EFL Cup. His honesty in post-match press conferences last season was refreshing and then quite amusing for everyone else, but seemed to serve really as a reminder of how much he and his team were struggling, which always struck as an odd PR strategy. I guess that this way he gets to blame others, and in the mind of some Manchester United supporters, I think that still holds true. But it's still pretty extraordinary that a man who leads with a points per game record in the Premier League identical to Alan Pardew and Bruno Lage is leaving the club not because of on-pitch performance, but his public messaging. He had an elite chance creator in Bruno Fernandes. He signed three £60 million plus attackers this summer and remained largely, till his final days, wedded to a formation that didn't provide results or performances or entertainment for the most part. I think some people will say, hang on a minute, Manchester United are sixth in the Premier League, but they're also 4 points above 14th, had no European commitments this season and have dropped 8 points over the last month against teams in the bottom six. There's no real sign that sustainably this has been getting better and better. And taking Man United higher than they were isn't a huge achievement when you're the guy who took them to 15th. The tactics were muddled. The cup performance was way below expectation, including defeat to Spurs in the Europa League final. And yeah, the messaging was desperate. So I think hindsight will paint him as entirely ill-prepared for a job he should never have taken in mid-season.
Let's look at the numbers then. Ruben Amorim was in charge for 63 games. He won only 24 of them. They finished 15th last season with their lowest points total since their relegation season in 1974. They reached the Europa League final, of course, but they blew that and lost to Spurs. All in all, it wasn't really very good. And it's worth reminding ourselves that United's former sporting director, Dan Ashworth, himself expensively poached from Newcastle, apparently warned everyone that Amorim was the wrong guy, and Dan is no longer with the club. I bet he looks like he slept with a coat hanger in his mouth right now. There are some caveats, of course. United have been so horribly broken for so very long that even if the owners tested out a ghastly experimental medical procedure on Sir Alex Ferguson and reversed his ageing process, well, even Govan's greatest would struggle to turn this around, as indeed he did back in 1986. Amorim does deserve credit for the wholehearted way in which he took the challenge on. He laid down the law, he removed big-name players he felt were compromising his rule, he had his plan and he stuck to it until very, very late in the day, and on occasions there were signs that something was developing, but not enough. And at the back, United remained horribly vulnerable, shipping 30 goals this season. Only the bottom six have conceded more. Darren Fletcher is the interim manager for now, but the BBC report that the club have said they're looking for a caretaker manager who won't be Fletcher, and then a permanent, if that's the right word at this club, a permanent manager in the summer. Whoever does get it, they won't find it easy. United have no Champions League revenue, and you really wouldn't back them right now to lock it down for next season. There won't be many big money signings. They have a weirdly unbalanced squad in place, half built for a 3-4-3 formation that may no longer be required. Enzo Maresca has been bafflingly installed as the favourite to take over, baffling because the manner of his exit from Chelsea was so similar to Amorim's from United. Maresca has now proved himself unable to operate in a sporting director-heavy environment and has also demonstrated that he'll happily have three separate conversations with rival clubs, which is less than ideal. Oliver Glasner has performed miracles at Crystal Palace and his contract expires at the end of the season. He is certainly good enough for the role, but is the role good enough for him? He'll be one of Europe's most sought-after coaches this summer. Does he really want the chaos and entrenched decay of Old Trafford? Gareth Southgate is a 10-1 shot. He's a good man and he's proved he can handle extreme stress, but there are still some doubts in some quarters over his abilities. The last time he was a Premier League manager, it was at Middlesbrough and he got relegated. One interesting name in the mix is Kieran McKenna. Now, he was under-18 manager at United before taking the Ipswich job and winning back-to-back promotions there. He was linked with the role last time but opted to stay with Ipswich, who were subsequently relegated, but they are now up to third place in the Championship and he's at 14-1. If you like those odds, check out our friends at fitstairs.com, but only if you're over 18 and only if you promise to gamble responsibly. And all prices quoted here were correct at the time of recording. For a short time on Saturday, Celtic looked to have cracked it. Not only were they beating Rangers 1-0, but they were comprehensively outplaying them, ripping through their lines, creating 11 chances and putting 5 of them on target too. On the right flank, South Korean 23-year-old Hun Young Yang was relentless. He was in power-up mode. He may have used the in-game editor to alter his own attributes. We're looking into it. His shot for the opening goal was so ferocious, if Jack Butland had got his hands to it, they would have been severed at the wrist. Wilfried Nancy, the beleaguered Celtic boss, must have walked down the tunnel at the break thinking, "Nailed it! Now we'll see who's out of his depth." Rangers would go on to win the game 3-1, and the only home fans left at the end stayed to boo. Jim Burke is one of the hosts of the magnificent Celtic podcast, RGC. There's a link in the episode description. Jim, you've been a Celtic fan for a great many years. Is this as bad as it's ever been?
It's not as bad as it's ever been. The mid-90s when Rangers had their 9 in a row, and there was another Glasgow derby in 94 where it was very similar to yesterday. It wasn't going to take much to make the atmosphere in the ground toxic. Mars bars were lobbed at the director's box back in the day. Obviously, I think people were frisked on the way in yesterday, and I'm sure the same thing would have happened again. I know there's people listening to this and be thinking, why are Celtic fans upset? Because you win everything and yada, yada, yada. I get that. However, nearly just over a year ago, we took Bayern Munich really close after coming out of the group stages of the Champions League. And now we are where we are. We sold Kyogo. We've never replaced him. We had a disastrous transfer window in the summer. All the while, we've got £77 million in the bank. So we're not being the best version of Celtic that we can be. I think this Saturday's game, there will be a boycott. I know that they've got the money, but certainly there's a lot of people I know are not going to be going to the game because something needs to change at Celtic. If they make the change quickly, there is every chance we can win the league. If they don't, it's going to be an absolute disastrous season, and every single bit of it is self-inflicted. Yes, to everyone who listens to this, Happy New Year!
Elsewhere, Hearts beat Livingston 1-0 and are 6 points clear at the top. Celtic and Rangers are second and third, tied on goal difference, with Nancy's side edging ahead only on games won. It really has been quite the season up there. Talking of great seasons, are you keeping an eye on France? You should be. There's no Paris Saint-Germain procession in Ligue 1 this year. Lens are leading and they are showing no signs of letting up. They went to Toulouse on Friday and beat them 3-0, though they were aided by their hosts, whose striker Emerson, with two M's, got himself sent off after just 23 minutes. Now, I thought the red card was harsh. It was a careless lunge, but you know what the game's like these days. Anyway, Lens slowly took control in the second half. They are an interesting team. They play the same sort of shape that Ruben Amorim's trying to impose on Manchester United. Former Palace and Celtic striker Odson Edouard leads the line, or at least he did until he was hooked shortly before the break, with Wesley Saïd and one-time Marseille star Florian Thauvin tucked in behind. All the width comes from the wing-backs. Mathieu Udol was particularly sprightly down the left, and homegrown defender Pierre Gagneux, just 20 years old, looked pretty decent too. He's got a corker at the end. It's all very impressive stuff from new manager Pierre Sage, who was sacked by Lyon almost exactly 1 year ago after a minor wobble left them sixth in the table, and John Textor decided he rather liked the look of Paulo Fonseca. Well, Lyon are currently fifth. Lens are top and 1 point clear of Paris Saint-Germain. Liam Rosinia's Strasbourg, as we can still just about refer to them, they're seventh. They drew 1-1 with Nice. Most of the big sides won in Serie A. Inter are top, 1 point clear of AC Milan, who are in turn 1 clear of Napoli. Juventus and Roma are 4 points back, and Como are still sixth. No surprises in Spain either. Leaders Barcelona beat Espanyol in the big derby game. Real Madrid made a good start to 2026. They crushed Betis 5-1. They're 4 points back in second. Villarreal are third. They've got two games in hand as well. They beat Pastmasters Elche 3-1. Germany, by the way, are still off because they actually understand that a proper mid-season break is important. They return next weekend. Back in England, the Championship has reached its nobody wants to win it stage. Leaders Coventry lost to Birmingham on Sunday. It's just one win in five for them. Middlesbrough are second, 6 points back. They failed to win any games at all over Christmas, but they did bounce back to beat Southampton 4-0. Ipswich beat Oxford on Saturday, and they have skulked all the way into third place. Some other stories popping up today that might float your boat. The Athletic is reporting that Gary O'Neill is lined up to be the next Strasbourg coach. That feels like a good fit for him. AS in Spain are reporting that Real Madrid are planning a move for Crystal Palace dynamo Adam Wharton. And Corriere dello Sport, which always sounds better in the original Essex, I think, they say that Nathan Ake is a target for AC Milan. There's lots of football over the next couple of days. AFCON's reached the round of 16 stage. You can see Egypt, Benin and Nigeria, Mozambique on Channel 4 at 4pm and 7pm. Two struggling championship giants will swing wild haymakers at each other like drunks in a pub car park on Sky. That is Leicester versus West Bromwich Albion and it's on at 8pm. On Tuesday, you've got Algeria versus Congo and Ivory Coast Burkina Faso on Channel 4. You've also got a whole day of Serie A football. Pisa Como at 2, Lecce Roma at 5 and Sassuolo Juventus at 7.45. All on DAZN apart from the Juve game, which is also on TNT. And then you have two massive games either side of the wall. West Ham Forest and Rangers against the now managerless Aberdeen. Both on Sky, both at 8. Enjoy. That was Route 1. It was Football Fast, No Faff, and it's here thrice a week, Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Now, we want to hear from you. We didn't have enough of you in 2025. We'll have a new email address soon. But in the meantime, you can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky and LinkedIn. So send me your questions, your comments, your absolutely anything, and we'll give you a shout out on the show. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your producer was Helena Fremantle. We'll be back on Wednesday. See you then.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.